I'm thankful this morning for the name of Jesus. Thankful that Jesus introduced himself to me and was so kind to condescend to where I was. I didn't have anything on my own to reach Jesus, but he was willing in his love, when he didn't have to come down and pay a terrible price that I might be able to be redeemed to him. And he did that for everybody that's here this morning. And if you're here today and for some reason you feel like that maybe at this point you're a lost cause and you've gone too far and the blood of Jesus is for everybody but you, you're the one that Jesus came for. Very appreciative of the love of Jesus this morning. Thankful to be in the service again today. I'm thankful for the goodness and faithfulness of God. And I desire an interest in your prayers for this little service that we have this morning, that the Lord would bless it, minister it to your hearts. I'd like to start in the 13th chapter of Matthew. And we'll just read three verses, Matthew 13 and 31. It says, "Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Another parable spake he unto them, The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid three measures of meal till the whole was leavened." And there's a verse in Galatians 5 and 9 that says, "A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump." I'd like to ask a question to start with this morning. And that is, does anyone here feel less than adequate in a particular area of your life that you wish you felt more adequate in? My guess is that might touch all of us. That's my guess. And maybe believe that what you have in that area really isn't worth being offered. And perhaps look to other areas where you feel like you can provide more value and let that particular area, leave it to somebody else to deal with. Probably all been there, haven't we? You know, in a lot of cases, that's a wise thing to do. Some cases. I'm not real interested this morning in being on a jet airplane with somebody that decides to fly the plane for a participation award just because they want to show that they have courage. They want to show that they're willing to step up to the plate. Not really interested in being on that plane if they failed all their flying classes and that's not really where their strength is. I just assume they try that on their own time. Not with me on the plane. If I have a problem with my transmission in my car, I really would rather go to somebody who has a strength in rebuilding transmissions, not somebody who just wants to open up their garage and say, "Send it to me, I'll give it a whirl." That's not, they can try that on their own transmission, but I want somebody who knows what they're doing in that case. And that's the reason why we benefit from that in this world. People apply themselves and give themselves many times to places where their strength lies. And we all benefit because of that. We wouldn't be where we are today if we didn't have people that were good at something and applied themselves in that area. And I'm glad that we do that. So that's on one side of the spectrum. But there is other instances where feeling unworthy and where we feel very much inadequate in certain areas of our life, that we're tempted to to use that as an out, if I can say that, to shirk our responsibility in an area that God would really like to bless and increase if only we would be willing. And sometimes we minimize what God gives us, and sometimes we minimize something in somebody else right out of the gate when it appears to us that it's of very little value or insignificant. And this morning I feel inspired to challenge this thinking and often practiced behavior and encourage and challenge you with a message on the power of leaven. What is leaven? Leaven is yeast. Leaven is a catalyst for change. Leaven alters. Leaven has the ability to transform. Leaven doesn't take the place of the whole, right? But it has the ability to transform the whole. That's what leaven is. How much leaven is normally needed? You gotta get wheelbarrow fulls of this stuff to do what you need. You just need a little bit, don't you? Just a little bit. Just a little bit of catalyst. Catalyst is similar to leaven. Catalyst drives a reaction where you have everything that you need in place, but you just need a little something to get it to move. And I want to give you an example of that this morning. What is another term that we use for water? We talked about chemistry a little bit this morning. What is it? H2O. So this is water. And what is H2O? What is this? It's two hydrogens and an oxygen, right? Well, there is an expression that goes with that. And it's kind of like an equation. Get this right. And it's two oxygens, oxygen gas, and a hydrogen gas. And if you put these together, and you do just a little bit of something, and I don't recommend you do this at home, because the reaction can be rather impressive. I've seen it happen. And it works. And if you have oxygen gas, not liquid, oxygen gas and hydrogen gas, two parts oxygen gas, I'll say it that way, one part hydrogen gas. I didn't get this right. It's two right here. You end up with water. And what you have to do is just give it a little bit of heat. That's the catalyst. If you can have all the oxygen gas in the room and all the hydrogen gas, and nothing will happen. You'll have hydrogen gas and oxygen gas. But if you come along and you just give it just a little nudge with a lighter, just give it just a little touch. That oxygen gas and that hydrogen gas will transform very quickly, and you end up with water. The heat in this instance is kind of like the leaven. It's in this case it's the flame, and it can make a lot of something change a lot when you do this. A little bit of leaven can change a lot. And let me say this too. A little bit of something strong can powerfully change a lot. Leaven can do that. This flame can say, I can't make water. In fact, I only have just a second. I just have a second to introduce myself into this whole room full of oxygen and hydrogen. That's all I have to offer. I don't have anything else. I don't know anything about water. I don't know a whole lot about this. All I am is a little flame that sometimes nobody sees and is a little bit weak. And I'm not very strong. I can't last for very long. But if you say, I'll tell you what, flame, that's okay. We can use you. Come on in. All it takes of something small and willing and obedient to be at the right place at the right time and follow the leadings of the Lord can powerfully change a whole lot and transform it into something very different than what you started with. And we just read a parable of the mustard seed. Is a mustard seed real big? It said the mustard seed was one of the smallest of seeds, didn't it? It's something very small, but when a mustard seed dies out to itself, when it's willing to die out to itself and let that dying out process be applied to it, it turns into something way more than what it ever started with. Didn't it? This verse said that a man went out and he sowed it in the field, and the reason he sowed it, not because he looked at it and said, that's insignificant, it's not worth anything. You know what, I don't need that, I'm gonna just bury it. He went out of his way to bury it because he knew that if he did that, there would be something that happened. There would be a little bit of time where that seed died out to itself. And after it died out to itself, it would turn into something way more than what it ever started with. Do you think it's a coincidence that the Lord set up nature the way that He did? I don't. You look all around you and over again to get a whole lot of something, you have to let something die first. To get an orchard of trees, you have to take a few seeds and put it in the ground, and the seed has to die first. And so we have apple trees and orange trees and pear trees, and we have all kinds of plants, all of our fruits and our vegetables and the beautiful trees and grass that's all around us. All these beautiful things that we enjoy, and the only reason we're able to enjoy it is because at some point they had to die out to themselves. You think that's a coincidence? Don't you think that the Lord, it wants to help us get a hold of what He's trying to tell us, where He says, trust me, if you'll die out to yourself and go through that process, I can turn you into something really beautiful, way better than what you are now, but you have to be willing to die out. And we resist that so much because this process, it looks so painful. We don't want to do it. But what would you say if I lined up a whole row of seeds? I'd have a peach seed and an apple seed and maybe a grain of corn and maybe a plum seed, and all the seeds could talk to each other. And they're real proud about how they look. They're proud about their lives. Got a little seed here and I come along and if they could hear me, I'm going to personify them and say, you know, y'all, if you'd be willing to die out to yourself and not think so much about what you look like in the seed state, if you'd let me put you into the ground, you have to die, but you could turn into something so much better. And if the seed said, oh no, we don't want to do that. That sounds painful. We really like how we are. And I'm like, no, trust me. I see things you don't see. I trust my wisdom. This is how you're designed. And the seeds keep pushing back, you know. And I say, well, you have the right to choose. And I give them that right. You know how disappointed I would be if the seeds all said, no, I don't want to do that. Look at the waste. Look at the opportunity that was wasted. And I wonder if the Lord comes to us sometimes And He wants us to be willing to die out to ourselves because He has something so much more beautiful that He wants for us. Well, it went on and He likened the kingdom of heaven also to this. The creation of the congregation of every child of God that is now across the face of the whole earth when Jesus Christ came. How many disciples did He have? Did He have several thousand right off the bat? No. He had a few disciples. He had some faithful men and women who were willing to take the Word of God, and in the little bit of time that they had, they spread it to who they could. And the Lord came along and He caused the transformation process. The flame can't cause. The properties were there all the time. But sometimes we have to come along and be willing to be the flame and let the Lord do the transformation process. And the kingdom of God started in the New Testament age, and it started with a few, and it began to rapidly expand until all of the world has had the gospel message because it started with some people that were willing to be used in something that was way bigger than what they were. The grace of God. When the grace of God is allowed to be applied in our hearts and in our lives, and we're willing and obedient to the nudging and to the voice of the Lord, and we let the grace begin to work in our lives, then what happens is our souls begin to take on the likeness of the grace that was applied. But we have to be willing. We have to give ourselves to that. That's the Lord's plan. And my message this morning is not to despise or discount the power of the leaven. How does this apply to us? We're going to get a little closer yet. How does this apply to us in everyday life? There's a verse in Isaiah, the first chapter in the 19th verse, and it says, "If ye be willing and obedient, what? You shall eat the good of the land." You know who else will eat of the good of the land if you're willing and obedient? Other people. If you're willing and you're obedient, you'll eat the good of the land, and other people will eat the good of the land too that has come about by something that you were faithful to with the Lord. And I have a few things I'd like to encourage you with. Follow the little checks of the Holy Spirit. The things that come along that don't seem real significant and big, and they don't just knock you over. You know, most of the time we don't wake up with a voice, "Rod, this is the Lord talking." And I'm startled awake and, "Yes, Lord, what is it?" We may have a time or two in our lives where things like that happen in a little more literal sense, but most of the time it's a still small voice. It's not the fire, and it's not the wind, and it's not the rumblings. It's the still small voice that come along and it speaks to us. And I want to encourage you, don't discount that as not being powerful. The Lord doesn't come and holler at us most of the time and knock us over with His presence. He comes along and He leads us gently. And if you're willing to listen, it can have a transformational effect in your life. The things sometimes that seem, "Well, that's not that big of a deal. I'll probably be okay. It'll probably be okay to go this way." And you feel just a little nudge. "Well, that's probably nothing. That's probably nothing." It probably might be something. And it probably might be something that if you'll follow it, will have a transformational effect for the positive. And if you don't follow it, it can have a transformational effect to the negative. Be willing to follow the positive impulses that the Lord gives you to do good to other people. Make a sincere offer to help somebody. Did you know that when you help somebody that's in need, and you look out there and you see there's an opportunity, and you help them, there's more that happens than just the value of the help itself, moving this box from point A to point B. There's relationships that can start to form. There's spirits that are touched by your willingness to step forward and make a sincere offer for help. Offer an unexpected compliment sometime to somebody. You know that expected compliments, and I'm talking about sincere compliments. I'm not talking about, you know, sometimes people, they're always saying stuff, sometimes just to say stuff. And pretty soon it loses its value and you start to question their motives. I'm talking this morning about from the heart. I'm talking about when the Lord comes along and inspires you to express your appreciation to somebody. Sometimes people might expect a compliment in some situations, and maybe there's some good at that. But unexpected, sincere, Spirit-led compliments to help uplift and encourage can make a big difference in people's lives. And sometimes you think, oh, that's nothing. That won't matter. They don't need to hear that. What I have to say just seems like it's so small. Sometimes unexpected compliments that are from the heart, that are meaningful, that the person can connect with what you're saying, it makes sense. They can stay with people for a long time. The Holy Spirit can use those things to awaken a soul that might be struggling in something. I want to say this. Sometimes we're afraid to give people sincere compliments because we think, oh, I'll just give them a big head, or, well, we don't want to make them feel proud. Look, there's enough things out in the world today that knock people over all the time, hit us in the knees. It's okay to give somebody a sincere, Spirit-led, from the heart compliment of encouragement. Say thank you. Do you know a lot of times people do things for us that we benefit from often? And we can just start taking it for granted. I can come in this chapel, it's clean every time I come in here. Somebody's cleaning the chapel. There are, at the workplace, we just start taking things for granted that are kind of in order. In your own home. I eat good food regularly. I live in a clean house. I'm well taken care of. And you know, if I'm not really careful, well, that's just how it is. That's just how it is. It's like it just happens. It doesn't just happen. It happens because somebody cares enough all day long, every day, 7 days a week, to make my life better. Say thank you. It can have an uplifting effect that extends way longer than the little bit of time it says to say thank you. But you have to mean it from your heart. You can't mean thanks for that on your way out the door. And oh, by the way, when I get home, I need this. I'm talking about the Spirit that comes along and you feel an impulse to do something good and something right. A lot of times the enemy comes along and tries to squelch it. You don't need to say that. They'll probably take it wrong anyway. That's not necessary. Another one is be willing to be vulnerable. Sometimes we can get the idea that, mentioned this the other night, that we're the only ones that are having problems and everybody else has it all together. Especially at church. You know, sometimes it can feel like that everybody else isn't having the same struggles and temptations and trials that I'm having, because after all, I'm a Christian and I probably shouldn't feel this way or have these kind of trials. And we come to church and we try to blend in with everybody because we don't maybe want them to know exactly how we're feeling, because we don't want them to think that we're something that we are. And yet, they all have similar struggles too in life. Be willing to be vulnerable. I'm not saying unwise and just bearing your soul in ways that isn't consistent with wisdom. Telling people things that you shouldn't be telling them about family members. And I'm not talking about that, but there are times where the Spirit of the Lord may come along and say, why don't you share a little something here? It's okay. And self-disclose a little bit. Did you know that that can help people defeat the enemy? That enemy, it's not just me you're bothering people with. There's a spirit that's at work here. And we can take courage from some of those things. Be willing to say, I'm sorry. Do you know that those three words, I am sorry, those are some of the three most difficult words in the English language to say. I am sorry. From the heart. This morning we're talking about heart, from the heart issues. If you've done something to somebody and you know you've hurt them, and maybe it wasn't even intentional. Sometimes we do things and people get hurt and then we go on our way and it's like, well, that's not my problem, it's theirs. Be willing to humble yourself down and say, I'm sorry. It's okay to say I'm sorry. Saying I'm sorry can take care of the elephant that's in the room. Hurts unattended can follow people their entire lives. But humility and a willingness to humble ourselves when we have situations where all of this is in the room, we may never get to a better positive state if we're not willing sometimes just to get it out on the table and say, you know what? I was wrong. I'm sorry. Not, you drove me to be this way and I'm sorry that I responded in this manner because of what you did. That was pretty painful, but I'm sorry. That's not what we're talking about this morning. We're talking about trying to do what we can to clear the slate. I'm sorry. It works wonders. Let's be willing to do that. Let's be willing to step into the water when we don't understand how the water is going to part. You know, the Lord comes along sometimes and maybe He deals with us in some of these areas that we've talked about this morning and inspires us to say one of these things or do one of these things. And the enemy a lot of times gives us all the reasons why we shouldn't do it. And why there's this gulf between state A and state B, and I don't know how to get across. That's how the children of Israel found themselves before they got in the land of Canaan, wasn't it? Wasn't there a river that separated them? Did the river part for them before they stepped into it? I've thought before the Lord was really good to them when they got to the Red Sea. He parted the waters that time before they stepped into it. Maybe increased their faith a little bit. But when they got to the Jordan River, the Lord said, it's time to go across. But the waters didn't part. And the Lord didn't tell Moses, because I don't believe Moses, he may not have been there at that point. There was Joshua wasn't there to put his staff and part the waters. The water was still there. And they could have just sat there and waited for the perfect condition to do right. I want to tell you something. Very rarely does the perfect conditions ever align. There's almost never a perfect convenient time to do right. It seems that way. It's always the right time to do right. But the enemy's always given us reasons why that won't avail anything. This isn't the right time. Apologize later. Don't make yourself vulnerable right now. Don't say thank you about that. I mean, they're not really in the mood for it. They're probably not going to take it right anyway. Sometimes timing does have something to do with it. But when the Spirit of the Lord comes along and inspires us, a lot of times all the right thing doesn't line up. And sometimes it seems like there's a lot of water out there. And the Lord beckons us, sometimes step into the water. Be willing to step into the water and let the Lord do the transformation. Let the Lord part the waters. It only took one step. That was the catalyst. That was the leaven inspired by God in these men and women that wanted to do the Lord's will. They stepped into the water, and when they did, whew, the waters parted. Because the Lord was there to bless what it was they were willing to offer. Be willing to offer your loaves and your fishes. Do you know that most of us today don't feel like that we're walking around with a big feast for everyone else to feast on? At least I don't. Most of the time you feel like, I just have a little bit. I don't have a whole lot. Maybe somebody else has a lot. I don't have a whole lot. Most of us feel that way. The Lord never intended to give us such an abundance that we never needed to look for Him. He gave us all a few fishes and some loaves here and there. And all He asks of us is to be willing to offer them up.
Yes, amen.
We'd had a lot of hungry people on the hillside if the boy was too embarrassed to offer up his loaves and fishes. But he was willing to offer it up. And then the Lord blessed it in such a rich measure. Be willing to offer up your two mites.
Yes.
What captured the Lord's attention? The large pieces of money that were going into the treasury? No. I mean, they were putting those things in from the wrong attitude and spirit of heart. But when the lady came along and she was just willing to give what she had, she could have said, this isn't going to do anybody any good. All I have is two mites. It was all she had. And I can see the Lord just kind of standing there, and all of a sudden, kind of like with Stephen, he stood up and he took note. It was like, now that's something right there that I can work with. You're important this morning. And what you have is valuable. What you have in your life can transform the lives of other people. Don't let the enemy tell you anything different. Because God put within all of us, if we'll be willing and we'll be obedient to His call and His impulses and His urgings, and we be obedient to that, He can bless it in such a mighty way. And I also want to encourage you with this before we get to the close. We read out of Galatians 5 earlier in the meeting, the fruit of the Spirit. Let me just ask you this question. Does anybody here ever feel less than adequate, inadequate, when you read about the fruit of the Spirit? Maybe go on to some other verse, because you read the fruit of the Spirit. Oh, I wrote them down here. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, faith. Sometimes you read those and you think, I don't feel like I have everything I need there. Do I even have the fruit of the Spirit? Maybe there's another verse that'll encourage me more. And that's what the enemy would like us to do. He'd like to discourage all of us. That the fruit of the Spirit that you have is wholly inadequate for you to even claim that you have the fruit of the Spirit. What the Lord would like us to do is take what He has given us. Maybe you're gentle in some areas and not in others. Start to focus on the areas that you are gentle in. Thank the Lord for that. Ask Him to expand that into other areas of your life. If you don't feel like you have the love that you ought to have in certain areas, but you do have a lot of love in another area, start thinking about what it would be like if you had that love where you don't feel love and say, Lord, could you help expand that in this area over there? And Lord, thank you for what you gave me over here. I appreciate that, Lord. Lord, help me to nurture that. Nurture joy. Some people just aren't naturally joyful people. I'm one that doesn't wake up in the morning with a smile on my face. Not that I'm upset. I just wake up and I'm fine. I just need a little bit of time. Some people need all day long. But they can get down under that. Because sometimes they're made up. Their DNA is such. They're made up where they're just not joyful people. And they can read this and start feeling like, what's wrong with me? But maybe there's some loaves and fishes of joy in there. And what the Lord would like us to do is focus on that and say, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for this. I appreciate that, Lord. And if you'd be willing, would you be willing to expand that in other areas of my life? And Lord, I'm going to do what I can to nurture what it is that you have given me already. See, a lot of times we hesitate and we draw back because we feel like that what we have is inadequate, and we're so ready to bury our talents when we feel like it's just one. Oh, we'll hold up the five because we like to be identified by the talents that where we have five, right? That's how we like people to identify us by. We don't like people identifying us by our one talent areas. We like people identifying us by our five talent areas, maybe our two. Sometimes that kind of flies under the radar. But the one talent areas, we like to bury those and just work around them so they don't even come up. The Lord wants us, He wants us to use our one talent areas because He gave it to us. And He wants to bless it and encourage other people with it. Look, whoever has five talents, whatever good they can do with the five talents, it's still not enough to do what God needs done. He still has to bless the five talents to achieve what it is He needs done. Don't you think He can bless the one talent to cover the gap between the one and the five to get where He needs to get? He just wants us to be willing to commit that into His hands, doesn't He? Don't let the enemy push you into a corner and say all you have is a mustard seed. And by the way, we all have a mustard seed. Let's let the Lord use the mustard seed and bless it. The scripture that we quoted earlier said, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. That should be encouraging and challenging to us this morning. The Lord can take every act of willingness and obedience, and He can take that and use it as leaven and transform it into something that is so much bigger than what it was that we initially offered. Let's be willing to do that for the Lord. The Lord wants us to allow His leaven to increase in our lives, and then He wants us to be the leaven in other people's lives to help them with their transformation with the grace of God coming out of our lives. Be encouraged with that this morning. I've enjoyed being with all of you this week. It's been an encouragement to be with you. We live in a troubled world. We live in a world that there is a lot of uncertainty that is around us, but we still serve God. And God is not up there wringing His hands, worrying that His power is being diminished, that His word is losing its power, that His kingdom is falling apart. God is still God. He's still on His throne. He's still working. He's still calling us to be about the Father's business. There's no higher calling. Let's be about the Father's business this morning. Let's be determined in our hearts and in our lives to be a real disciple of Jesus Christ. Let's be careful that we don't give ourselves too much to religion and form, and that we apply ourselves to be disciples of Jesus Christ. Be close to the Lord and be encouraged with the fact that Jesus has not forgotten you. The Master calleth thee by name. May the grace of the Lord be with each one of you this morning. Amen.